Hello, Can We Talk listeners, Jen Richler here. We're hard at work on our spring season, which starts in March. In the meantime, we're bringing you a recent conversation I recorded with Stephanie Butnick, the founder of the Jewish lifestyle newsletter Golda. We hope you enjoy it. Hi, everyone. I am so excited today to be talking with none other than the Stephanie Butnick. Hello, Stephanie, and welcome to Can We Talk?
It is so fun to be here. I'm a longtime listener and I would say second time guest. I'm really proud of that.
Yes, we don't have a lot of those. So that is a distinction. If you will allow me just a brief digression, a brief fangirl moment, I just need to say that I have been a Stephanie Butnick fan since the early days of the Unorthodox podcast. That was, for those who don't know, a podcast from Tablet Magazine. And I started listening in the very early days. So I don't know, was that like 2015 or so, maybe before? And Stephanie was always my favorite host. She was always there with the witty one-liner, always ready to put her co-hosts in their place when they needed to be. So it's very exciting for me to be having this one-on-one with you. I just got to gush a little bit.
That is so nice to hear. I really appreciate it. I loved being on that show. I loved doing that show. It was just such a special project. And just hearing that the way people connected with it, like still to this day, just like makes me feel emotional and feel so lucky to have been part of it.
Yeah, it was like a really, you guys were like early in the podcast boom. You were trendsetters and it was a real community. But before I go on, I should say that's not actually why we're here to talk today. What I'm here to talk to you about is something else you're doing now. So I think it was a little over a year ago, right? You started something called Golda. So tell us a little bit about what Golda is and why you started it.
So Golda is basically what I imagine it would be if like Goop and the Strategist had a Jewish baby. And this comes out of really like a post October 7th experience that I kept having, which is that people would come up to me or email me or message me or text me and say, you know, you're a Jew, you're like a big Jew in public. Like what, you know, all the sort of Jewish stuff, like what's a good necklace I could be wearing. I want to start wearing a Star of David, or I want to like start lighting candles. Where do I get those? And so there was a lot of questions people had about the way in which they wanted to start like going about their Jewish lives differently as a direct result of October 7th and realizing, you know, this is something that is really important to me, whether it's something I've always been doing, or I want to start doing it now, or I want to start doing it more. I want to start doing it publicly. There were a lot of people who wanted to sort of embrace their Jewish identity in a new way. And they were looking for the stuff that would help them do it. So what I was basically doing was being like, well, are you looking for modern or classic or like the one you got for your bat mitzvah? But now like I was really sort of sourcing things for people because my job for the past, you know, however many years at Tablet Magazine and Unorthodox was to be like the person who knew all the Jewish things. So I would know the Jewish books, the Jewish movies, the Jewish brands, the Jewish designers, Jewish artists. And so I was sort of sourcing these like piecemeal for people. And I had this realization, which is that this is actually not just something that like a few friends of mine and a few podcast listeners wanted to know about. This was something really going on a broader scale within the Jewish community, particularly in America, where all of a sudden, you know, we see anti-Semitism on the rise. We see this response to 10/7 that just really feels horrible. And we don't want to just fight that. We know we have to fight that, but we also want to embrace and dig deep into our Jewish identity. A lot of people didn't know how to do that. Maybe they were in a new city, not where they grew up. Maybe they didn't belong to a synagogue. Like, and there were so many ways that you can access your Jewish life. There's food, there's culture, there's the ritual, much of which is home-based. And so what I started realizing was that people needed a place to go to find all this stuff and to figure out how it fits into their lives. And on the other hand, there were so many amazing new Jewish designers and artists and people who were just doing like these side projects that suddenly were getting really, really popular because it turns out actually people really want your Jewish beaded necklaces, right? Your beaded bracelets, like these things that people were sort of doing on the side became much, much bigger with this swell of interest in sort of finding and procuring them. And so I said, you know, there's not something that's meeting us in the middle here, right? A place where you can go to find all of the really cool new stuff going on in the Jewish world, how to buy it, how to support Jewish artists and makers. And so what I tried to do with Golda was just start a newsletter and say like, every week, I'm going to send you a few things I'm really interested in right now, or a few, a really sort of a spotlight on an interesting designer or artist. And what I realized was people wanted it and people wanted to buy it. And I have the newsletter data to back it up. And I don't know if you know this, but anytime you read a newsletter, we can see everything you click. I can see what you buy. Like I actually get this really great data that shows me, okay, people love jewelry. People love supporting Israeli artists. People love books. okay, so now how do I bring them more of that? And so it's been a really, really fun experience. And a lot of it is built on what I learned doing Unorthodox, which is that people love connecting Jewishly in new and unexpected ways. And so the way in which we created this amazing Unorthodox Lister community, you could sort of test things with them, right? You'd say something one week and you get a bunch of letters back being like, that was wrong, or I love that. I love doing a newsletter because it's similar in that way, right? It's very personal, it's very intimate. And people can respond and you get feedback all the time. And so for me as a creator, I love the idea that I'm engaging like one-on-one with the Jewish community. And of course, this is much more scalable than just texting people recommendations. I'm doing it at a much bigger scale now, but it's the same very, very intimate, and I'd say Jewish principle, which is like, I like this, you should do this. Think about that. Like how many times it's like, oh, you need a hair person? Go here. You need a doctor? Go here. Like we are the recommenders. And so there's this really, really old school, way before like the influencer or that kind of culture, we were giving each other recommendations and like sourcing things for each other. And I love this idea that I can sort of bring that in a modern way to a bigger audience.
That's great. And I mean, I think part of what you're alluding to and what I've really appreciated about Golda since it started is that in some way, like fundamentally, it's really about Jewish joy. And I mean, as you've also alluded to, the last couple of years have been a pretty bleak time for Jews. And so I have really come to appreciate and almost like have a hunger for anything that helps me reconnect with or discover new things that I love about Jewish culture, my Jewish identity. And I feel like that's what Golda is helping people do.
Well, I love that we're sort of focusing on the stuff, like the shiny fun bracelets and necklaces, but it's actually not surface level. It's much, much deeper. The decision to put on a Star of David or your Hebrew name, that's actually a very brave thing to do right now. It's crazy to say, but it is. And so if we can remind you like why we're doing that, first of all, we can make it beautiful. So it's like something really fun for you to wear. We can also remind you why we're doing this, right? Like we are not just defining ourselves in opposition to other people. Like defensively, they hate us, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, we love being Jewish. Being Jewish is this amazing, bright, beautiful tradition. We are so lucky to be a part of it. And so I think it's wonderful that there's so many people out there like helping us fight the fight. I also think we need to sort of replenish, right? And say like, your home should be beautiful too. If you want to do a Shabbat dinner at the end of like a stressful week where you were dealing with like whatever mishigas at work, was it anti-Semitism, these news stories, have a beautiful Shabbat dinner. I don't care if you make it, cater it. I don't care what's on, like, I don't care what you're doing on Saturday, but like here are these really cool candles, these neon taper candles that you can put in your candlesticks and light them. And it's just this idea of brightness is sort of how I think about it, Jewish brightness, of just bringing that into our lives and the lives of people around us. And I think that it's so needed right now. And I think that we've been in such a defensive crouch, understandably, but now we're sort of like coming out of it. This is me coming out of my defensive crouch. And it's important. That's why I made this brand. Like this brand is pink and neon yellow. Like I want to remind people that there's so much brightness in Jewish life. We are the light. And so to me, this is sort of my small contribution to the broader just world of Jewish advocacy, I would say right now, through shopping. It's also a way to justify my shopping problem.
Totally. And same. I'm a bit of a Judaica junkie. And so this really scratches that itch for me. I will say that your recommendations have led me to quite a few purchases, that all of which I've been very happy with. There was a little bit of retail therapy happening over Black Friday, and you were right there to assist with that. So I've gotten, like, for example, from the brand Tel Aviv with an E at the end of Aviv, I got a great shirt that says Boker Tov on the back. And it's just like these bright, sunny colors, big sun graphic print on the back. It just cheers me up whenever I wear it. The Saturday sauce from Sababa Foods, which is like basically a shakshuka sauce. There's a few more. I won't go on. But it's just been great. And like you said, it goes beyond like sort of the surface level of like, it's fun to buy new things. It's supporting certain designers and artists that I want to support. It's just bringing some excitement and fun to Jewish ritual and just to like my everyday.
I love that. That makes me so happy. And it also shows like the power we have as consumers, right? We can say, like, I actually want to support Jewish vendors, right? I want my sweatshirt to say Boker Tov. That is such a good sweatshirt. I love it. And like, I want, because the thing about how many levels there are to that sweatshirt. You, first of all, you supported a Jewish artist, a vendor, you know, and she's this amazing woman in, she's from Chicago, lives in Tel Aviv, and has this really fun, like, streetwear line that just says Tel Aviv all over it and has Hebrew on it, but it's like just as cute and comfortable as everything else out there. And so you buy it, you support her, you wear it, you feel happy. You just said, like, you put this sweatshirt on, there's like a smiley sun and it says Boker Tov. It says, it boosts your mood. You go out, you have Hebrew on your sweatshirt. Like, there's sort of these ripple effects of our purchases. And so I think, like, particularly as women, there's so much we can do to build our Jewish lives. And it goes beyond the synagogue, right? It goes beyond the university. Like, there are ways in which our personal lives are so richly layered with Jewish stuff. And to me, to celebrate that is really, really important. And to say, like, this is your Jewish identity. And that's great. And that's why I keep saying, like, I don't care what your kitchen looks like. I don't care what you do on Saturdays. I just want you to feel a little bit happier and more proud of your Jewish identity and understand it more and understand all these amazing Jewish people out there who are doing really cool things. And so maybe you follow them. Maybe you interact with them. The best thing I heard, we did a big piece about Israeli artists, like visual artists. And this was, you know, a few, maybe like earlier in last year. And it was sort of like something stressful was happening in it, you know, sort of some peak of what was going on in Israel. And I said, what are some great Israeli artists we could support? And I actually heard from one of them. She makes these beautiful paintings. And she messaged me on Instagram and she said, I have to thank you. A couple from Australia reached out to me through your newsletter and commissioned two pieces from me. And to me, that is like the best thing to hear. Because you're not just going to buy a piece of art, right? The argument that I was making in that piece was like, you know, I got my first piece of like grown-up art in my apartment. And I found this woman, Gabriella Kramer. She's an artist in Brooklyn. And I was like, she's Israeli. And I love this idea that I was like supporting a Jewish artist, supporting an Israeli artist. Like, and I realized I don't have to just buy the thing that the internet tells me to buy. I can actually find someone whose values align, sure, but whose story is so interesting to me. And so when I heard, and again, those are not like one-off purchases, right? So when I heard from this artist that someone had sort of started following her, reached out, they worked together, they found this piece, and now she's shipping two pieces from Israel to Australia. Like, that to me is this Jewish connection. And it's bolstered by the internet, by tech, by this idea of like the newsletter format. And it's makes the world smaller in this really, really beautiful way.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I feel like you've done well on Golda is build a lot of excitement around the Jewish calendar and Jewish holidays specifically. So like there was a lot going on around Hanukkah that was really fun and like fun videos to watch. And I know you had some in-person events in New York where you're based. But let's face it, January, February, where we are now, to me, it's a bit of a dead zone in the Jewish calendar. No offense to Tu B'Shvat, great holiday, but little harder for me to summon like a lot of excitement, and Purim is still a little ways off. So what are you thinking about? What are you doing? What are you reading? And let's be honest, what are you buying? Or at least what do you have your eye on that's bringing you Jewish joy right now?
I am so glad you asked me this, because I've actually been obsessed with this thing, like this idea we go so hard on Hanukkah, brightness, light, parties, this, that. And then all of a sudden, like we go dark and it's cold. And it's snowing and we're just like
2 feet bundled.
Exactly. Like it suddenly gets very dark. And like the news cycle is dark right now. And so for me, what I've been trying to sort of remember and think about is like, okay, we need to actually turbocharge now. Like this is me punching. I'm like, we need to sort of keep that boost, that light, that spirit of Hanukkah and keep it going through at least Purim. And it is interesting. Like I love having worked at a Jewish magazine for so long. I love the way the Jewish calendar just sets you up editorially, right? Like think about the cadence of the Jewish week. There's so much that happens. You have Friday, you have Saturday. Like there's just always something there that you can like peg a story to. And the calendar works really, really nicely as well. And the Jewish calendar is so rooted in like festivals and harvests that it actually works so nicely to program content around. But what I'm about right now is like going overboard with like the the zhuzhing, the sparkle, the pizzazz. And I actually, I'm going to do a newsletter this week about this thing called the Shabox. And it's someone in New York who basically realized that the one of the teachers at her child's Jewish preschool made these really fun kits for the kids at the end of the year to send them home with. And you put beads in these little jars and you put candles on top and you could do it yourself. And it was really fun. And then there was a Kiddush cup you could decorate and a challah cover. And she thought, you know, actually, wouldn't it be nice if you had this beyond just like when your kid was in preschool? And also if you're not in a Jewish preschool or you're not in day school, like, wouldn't it be fun? And so she basically figured out a way to bring that to more people. And she sent me one, and it was the most fun I think my daughter has ever had. It comes with these sort of like plastic flute, is like the cocktail, the Kiddush cup is like a plastic flute that you put together. And you put those gems, those sticky gems on. And she got so excited about it. Just appeared in the middle of, you know, January. And then she said, I want to have a sparkle Shabbat party. And I said, okay, I have no idea what that is, but like, let's figure it out. And so I said, can I get a bunch more of those Shaboxes? And we had a bunch of people over, a bunch of her friends over. And then they were all making these little Kiddush cups and the coloring. And it's like, to me, it was this perfect moment. And I think obviously kids are a really easy way into like the joyful, happy part of Jewish life. And again, they're probably also like some of the few people who are really like focused on Tu B'Shvat because they're doing something in their preschool about trees or something like that. But, you know, it's such a good reminder to me to like, let's tap into that. Like the Kiddush cup is covered in gems, like 100%. And I have to say, like, I did a bunch of those. After she went to sleep one night, I was like, I'm just going to like put some, I'm going to keep going. Like, she said it was fine. And I was like, this is so fun to do this and to sort of say like, let's have that sparkle Shabbat party. So I think that like, you're right. There is more work to be done right now. It's a little bit harder. The calendar doesn't build it in for us, but it's so much more fulfilling, so much more rewarding when you have to work for it a little bit. And so I'm basically focused on like full brightness for the next 2 months in what I'm bringing to my readers.
I love that.
So you'll have to tell me how I did.
Yeah. Well, I love the idea of a sparkle Shabbat. I like that she had the idea for it like before she knew what exactly it entailed.
Everyone has to wear sparkles.
She had the vision. Yeah, she's clearly your daughter. You must have been kvelling. So you were talking earlier about how your audience there is largely women, I think is sort of what you were alluding to. And what I've noticed is that a lot of the people you've featured on your site or in your newsletters, the writers, the artists, the designers, even rabbis, a lot of them have been Jewish women. Of course, it's something I'm aware of or notice a lot working where I do at the Jewish Women's Archive. Can you talk about the decision? You were saying something earlier about spotlighting, you know, Jewish creators and makers. So like the decision to put a spotlight on Jewish women's work, or Jewish women's work, I should say.
That is actually really interesting. And it's not something I was consciously doing. I'm thinking now, I'm like, have I featured a man? I have. Ido Geffen.
Oh, for sure.
Author. Yeah. So we've definitely featured, and we had a whole thing about menswear.
We had the rabbi outfits.
Yes.
I love that.
Whole thing about Father's Day style from Jason Diamond. And like, we've definitely featured like the male perspective, but I think something, and again, I'm not just like, how do I find, I need a rabbi. I want to find a woman rabbi. It's more just like, this is this rabbi who's doing this thing that's so interesting to me. And yes, she's a woman. And like, it probably is why I'm interested in what it is she's doing. But I think this moment that we're in, this is like the Jewish woman's moment, right? We see what's going on. Like so many of the, look at what's happening with like the parents in schools, right? Like this is led by Jewish women. And this is actually something that Rabbi Diana Fursko pointed out to me, which is like, this is the moment that women are just like rising up and saying like, these are our families, these are our kids, these are our values. This is our world. And so I love this idea that like all these women are sort of coming out and saying like, I am Jewish. You need to respect that. You need to celebrate that the way I do and the way I celebrate your cultures. And so I also think that spotlighting like the home-based version of Jewish life that is sort of not always talked about, right? Like, you know, you go to the temple and the rabbi gets up there and talks to you. And like, yes, obviously some of them, it's not always like that, the way we sort of remember from our childhood, but like, then you go into your home and you build it yourself. And I think a lot of that, like, obviously, dads, men are involved in that, but like there is something fun about empowering Jewish women in this moment when they are like so tired, right? Like there was something, so when I featured last week, Modern Jewess, it's really great. It's a printed newsletter that you can get at modernjewess.com. I will give them a plug, and it's Rabbi Karen Glaser Palman and Rabbi Diana Fersko. And what they're doing is just like, it's called modern Jewess. That is explicitly Jewish. And Karen had this great quote that she gave in the interview, which is like, as Jewish women, we're doing it all now, right? Like you're doing carpool and this and getting your, and then you're wondering like, are my kids safe? How do I talk to them about like police presence outside their school? How do I like have my professional rewarding Jewish life? And then how do I get, she said, I have to make latkes and make a living. And so like, I love that we're thinking about this moment as Jewish women. And I love this idea that like, yeah, get that pretty necklace, like get that sweatshirt that makes you feel good. All of these things that are sort of like feminized and often almost like downplayed, like this idea of like, oh, it's just shopping. It's just sort of like your little habit, your little hobby. I want to empower all of that because in this moment, I do think that Jewish women do need that uplift. And I do think that they need to realize how powerful they are. Like, I feel like if you look at all those studies, like purchase power, the women have that, right? The women are the ones in whatever household, whatever your household looks like. The women are the ones controlling that. And so I love this idea that like we say what we want to buy and we want to who we want to support. And so like you're making your dinner plans, go to an Israeli restaurant. Like there's all these ways to just boost what we're already doing, sort of as you say, like spotlight it and then also validate it in a real way.
Can you say a little bit about the reaction you've gotten so far to the newsletter and just what you're doing in the last year? Like, what are you hearing from people?
Well, the best feedback I got was like, we need more of it. We need more newsletters every week. And so I'm like, I'm doing as much as I can. But you know, I come from an editorial background, right? I sort of came up at the best place. I came up at Tablet Magazine. So all of my newsletters like are going to be great. And so it's like I can't do that. And the idea is what we really do. I should actually explain what the newsletter looks like. It's an introduction for me, something sort of like a little bit about what I'm going through or what happened or what I've seen or what I've noticed. And then we usually feature someone. And so it's like an interview with someone who's doing something interesting. And then they'd give their picks. Like it's the long version of Golda is Golda Guide. And so someone will say, like, here are my five favorite Jewish things right now. Or it's something tailored to what it is that they do in the world. And they give you like their suggestions. And so it, just in the way we go to like New York Mags, the strategist, to find out like what famous people we love, like by see, like, you know, like my hand sanitizer comes from, they featured Aidy Bryant, who was on SNL at the time. And she's like, you know, I use this, like, you could use it all over your body at S, you know, during the week. It's like the best hand sanitizer. And I think about it and I think about her. And so it's like, there's a Jewish way to do that, right? And so everyone is sort of either giving their recommendations or if I'm spotlighting an artist or a designer, I give sort of my five favorite picks of what they offer. And so the idea is like curation, recommendation, with a really, really heavy editorial focus, right? It's not just anyone. The idea is that like I've either seen the product, tried the product, worn the product, bought the product, right? Like this isn't sort of like a paid thing. Like, and we do partnerships, but only really with places and people that feel really authentic and organically connected to my mission, which is basically just showing you the best of Jewish life right now, best of Jewish products, the best of Jewish books. And to me, it's been a really fun way to just see who people are starting to follow, right? Like, I feel like I'm creating this web where it's like, okay, now you know about the Jewish Book Council. Now you know about the Jewish Women's Archive. Like, now you can sort of broaden your landscape of the Jewish world because, you know, we, you know, I came up at Tablet. I worked, I knew, you know, all the acronyms, right? But if you're not in the Jewish world professionally, you don't know all of them, right? And so to me, there's so many amazing resources. And I love this idea that you just like feature someone who's doing something cool and then you know about their organization, but you get this sort of personal side to them too. It's not just like, here I am and here's what I do. It's just like, I will ask you an unexpected question. I'm at heart, I'm a journalist, I'm an interviewer. And so that's where I'm sort of getting it out right now, is sort of asking creative people about, you know, what makes them tick Jewishly and what influences their work.
I will say, as a fellow writer and interviewer, like I appreciate how well written the newsletters are. That's my writer nerd coming out, but you know, they're always, I always hear the Stephanie voice coming through. It feels like chatting with a smart friend who has lots of good ideas. And I love the interviews and the questions you ask. I think that makes it definitely more than just, you know, here are my five picks kind of checklist kind of thing.
I love that. I'm going to use that. Whatever you just said, I'm just going to like put that on the
Testimonial,
website. Yes,
Jen Richler,
exactly.
Jewish Women's
Smart
Archive.
person.
Okay, so you were just talking a bit about partnerships. Can you tell us anything that's on the horizon for Golda, like collaborations you're doing? I know sometimes you do in-person events. I wish I lived in New York so I could come. What's going on? What's on tap for you?
So this year, I think we're going to be doing more events because I think gathering people in person is really important. Like I love this idea that we can reach each other through newsletters and Instagram and videos and podcasts. Like, that's so good. But I also think at this moment we are craving in-person connection. The other thing we're starting to do is like collaborations on products, which is really, really fun for me. And so what I'm wearing right now, Mamala Jewelry is one of my favorite designers. And she does these really, really cute, they say like chutzpah or challah, like they're sort of nameplate necklaces with Yiddish. There's one that says like fakakta or mensch. And she does such fun stuff. We've featured her a bunch. And I said, you know, could we make a golden necklace, a golden nameplate necklace? And we made one and we are selling it. And I got to gift it to a bunch of people. And it's like really, really fun to sort of see that. And I also just like it because, again, like I wanted it, right? And so we're starting to work with a few other brands we're really excited about and saying like, would you make that in hot pink? Right? Like, could we sort of like do like, is there sort of like the gold version of that product? And I think for me, that's really, really fun to basically say like, yes, I'm recommending all this stuff, but also like, I'm sort of helping to brighten up the Jewish landscape, the Jewish ritual landscape, which is like such a treat for me.
Okay. So you're telling me there's going to be more things to buy.
More things to buy. Yes.
I was worried.
Sorry.
I was worried there might not be more things to buy. So thank you for...
But I have to say, like, there are so many things to buy. Like looking on Etsy, the Jewish stuff on Etsy is amazing. Not all of it, but some of it is so, so, so good. And it's like, there's all these just like creators out there. And I love this idea. I'm like, even like eBay, like vintage Jewish shopping on eBay. It's like, there's so many ways to tap into these markets of people and to find them. And even just like all over the world, they're here, they're everywhere. Right. And so I love this, just like, again, it's this web and I'm just trying to sort of like put some pins in the map and say like, here's where you could go. And like, right. Once like, I come by, honestly, I did not light Shabbat candles in my adult life or really growing up. And then I found these neon dip dyed candlesticks and I started lighting Shabbat candles because they are so pretty. And actually I keep them out all week. And to me, I'm like, I walk in, I see these like bright pink and shockingly pink and orange, like really beautiful candlesticks. And they're just like, they're tapers, I should say. They're the actual candles that go into, I always wonder like, which is the candlestick, which is the candle. I've had to learn a lot, but when you see them out, it just brightens up your day. Like just like wearing that Boker Tov sweatshirt does, like there's these little things about Jewish life that you can keep out. And so I love, you know, I interviewed Susan Alexander, who's a really fun jewelry and accessory designer. And she said, she's like, I design sort of for like the person in an apartment who doesn't have room for stuff. But also the idea is like, would you keep this out all year round if it was like so bright and so colorful and so fun, you didn't want to put it away. And so like, I think a lot of us have this sense of Judaica as like brassy, you know, Baroque. And that's beautiful. Like that is so cool. And like, if you have that, you're so lucky, right? Like a lot of us don't actually have the like generational passed down stuff. The
family heirlooms.
For us, family heirlooms just look different. And for me, like, the things I made in nursery school were what we used growing up. And like, those are family heirlooms. And so I love this idea of like heirlooms to be, right? Like these are things that you make or you buy, or, you know, we're working on a guide for people who are converting to Judaism. Cause a lot of people are like, what should I get for someone who's converting? What should I get for myself? And so I'm like, that's such a fun, like a blank slate, right? Like what should your Judaica collection look like? What do you need? And so to me, like there's such meaning in that. Like you're building the stuff of your Jewish life, but at the same time, like, aren't we all kind of doing that? Right. Aren't we all sort of saying like, you know, I never really did this thing, but like, I really like Havdalah. That seems really pretty. Like I like a spice box. Like that's not a scary ritual. That's like a really fun thing. And so I think we're all like curating our own Jewish lives every single day. And so I love this idea of sort of celebrating that and lifting that up and saying like, yes, we should all be not only curating our Jewish lives, but celebrating it too.
Okay. Last question. Where can people find Golda and learn more and, you know, get on the bandwagon?
Love that question. Your listeners can go to goldaguide.com, GoldaGuide.com. We're Golda Guide on Instagram. I'm at S Butnick on Instagram. I'm always sort of resharing, sharing fun things that I found. And we have a lot coming. We have a podcast coming. I have to say it. Like
you heard it here.
Yes, you heard it here first. We're working on a podcast. And so all these things that I love doing and the ways I love connecting with people, just really, really fun to sort of like build them and make them. So a lot coming for Golda this year.
Excellent. And you do need to be back behind the mic, Stephanie, because the people want it. So
just when I thought I was out.
Yeah, they exactly. They're going to reel you back in. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. This has been so much fun. I love chatting with you, and you are always welcome back on Can We Talk anytime. So I hope you will stop by.
Jen, thank you. I love this show. I love Jewish Women's Archive. I love everything you're doing to uplift Jewish women. And I'll be back, like maybe tomorrow.
Sounds good.